You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Giants Croncast, a podcast chronicling the San Francisco Giants. Featuring Brian Murphy and Doug Brazzoni. Part of FFSN, Fans First Sports Network.
Ah, stupid Alex Wood. So
he
stupid.
He sucks.
It's not that he sucks. It's just he should have known, I've only got my fastball. Don't put me in yet. One more inning. I bet Alex Wood was like warming up and he's like, wait a minute, Ross Stripling's pitching well? No, what? And it just threw him off, his preparation
like,
coming in.
Yeah, I think Cap called him in, and Alex was like, no, Cap, only one of us can be good at a time. You should. But then he already had the ball by then. He had to pitch.
Well, you know, that's how it goes for the Giants. They have a 10-game road winning streak, and now they're 1-4 since. God damn it.
Yeah, that's about it. Alex Wood should have thrown better. The offense should have hit better. The offense had two games that they were any good at all. That's kind of an issue. But I can't say it's concerning because we're not doing interesting concerning this week. So that's a break for the Giants.
Tyro Estrada, according to Mark Simon of Baseball Info Solutions, he said that, you know, he pointed out that Tyro Estrada had grounded into three double plays the entire season. And in the last two games, really in like the last 12 innings, he grounded into three double plays, and he almost grounded into a fourth one, like four straight double plays. I remember writing last year, because I like Tyro Estrada, I think he's a good player, and I'm going to say more on that in a second, Doug. But I remember saying, like, man, the second he loses like a quarter of a mile per hour off his foot speed is when his value plummets, because him staying out of double plays on those ground balls has really helped him not be a terrible offensive deficit for the Giants. And at least in this Mets series, he really has been. All that said, the Giants are still holding on to a wild card spot. It was pretty exciting. The Patrick Bailey part of this, we got to talk about for a second, Doug, just because, again, it really tickled me. Anthony DeComo, right? Someone named Patrick Bailey just hit a three-run home run. Fantastic. It made me so happy. And it really did. Our podcast, Doug, it continues to grow in influence and just be ever more prescient, because you can't compare Patrick. You shouldn't compare Patrick Bailey to any catchers in the Giants' past. But there he is doing things that remind you of one guy.
You see Patrick Bailey, and the only name that just comes across your mind is Eliezer Alfonso. You know, Eliezer Alfonso came in. He hit a home run against the Mets in 2006. I think we're all thinking about that every time we see Patrick Bailey. I can't keep this bit going, obviously. He's as impressive as Buster Posey was in his first one.
Hold on. This is where getting old really sucks.
Eliezer Alfonso homered in his first game in New York against the Mets in 2006. I nailed it. I did that off the top of my head.
You nailed it. And the thing is, you know, you want to bring up the Eliezer Alfonso comp, which is fine. You're entitled to do that. But I really think you, the Eli Whiteside erasure, I won't stand for it. Because really, no one has inspired as much confidence behind the dish since Eli Whiteside. Offensively, I mean, fine. You want to throw out the Eliezer Alfonso comp? That's your right, Doug. But I'm not going to let Eli Whiteside go quietly. My favorite.
How many home runs did Eli Whiteside hit in New York against the Mets? Just real quick. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You got me there.
Nailed it.
I'm actually now looking at his baseball reference page. Against the Mets, he had, in fact, zero home runs. So that would be a zero all the way around. So he didn't mention the name that shall not be named. I just want to mention that we did get another bit of Tyro Estrada news that is wrapped in much more positive news. Tyro Estrada not named to the All-Star team as a reserve. Camilo Doval, though, is named to the All-Star game roster for the National League, the lone representative of the Giants this season. If you had to pick one Giant, I guess that is the one Giant that you would pick. So it's not a controversial thing. I am very disappointed that Tyro Estrada, literally up until this weekend, that is, the 10th best player in the National League by wins above replacement, the best second baseman in the National League by wins above replacement, not on the roster. Couldn't crack it. But Camilo Doval, let's talk about him for just a second. Isn't he great?
He's great. Yeah, he's been exactly what you hope a closer is going to be. And he spent basically, after he had a little bit of a hiccup, like his first game in New York, which he still got the save, but he looked bad. But I mean, since mid-April, he's been fantastic. It's been really impressive to see his development. You know, when he was in the minors, he couldn't throw a strike. He was, you know, walking seven guys for nine innings. And you're like, you say this about so many guys in the minors. You're like, if he could just harness the stuff, just get it in the strike zone, just consistently throw strikes, he'd be so good. And Camilo Doval is the one who did it. And you're seeing exactly why you dream on the other 19 guys to get one Camilo Doval.
It's weird. You said mid-April, and that's good. I mean, that's correct. But it is weird how you think of Doval and you think he's been good all season long. Not entirely the case. He's kind of like the rest of the Giants as a team. Like, once it turned from April to May, he was playing better than the group for sure. But it's like the whole team really stepped it up a notch, because his ERA through April was 3.27. He had a pair of losses and a blown save that led to a loss. But since then, he has, and that's in 11 games. But since then, a 1.33 ERA with a 1-0 record, just one blown save, and 21 saves in 27 games. Giants are 25-2 in those games. Also, a really nifty 38-11 strikeouts to walk. And his cutter is averaging 100 miles an hour, which is by far the highest average on that pitch. That's just terrifying. But the since May numbers for the Giants are remarkable, and their best reliever also getting the benefit of that. I mean, it just sounds like they've activated the cheating machine. But no, I'm just kidding. Right. I'm just kidding. So congrats to Camilo Doval. I'm kind of thinking that if there's an injury or someone declines an invite, the Tyro Estrada is probably going to be the next guy up.
I mean, maybe the thing about Estrada is his value is coming from sort of the, like, some good defense, some good base running. He's a good hitter, but he's not a great hitter. I would say that it's more likely for J.D. Davis to be an injury replacement, because J.D. Davis has a little bit more star power, having been in New York. And Tyro Estrada, I mean, I know Tyro Estrada was on the Yankees for a little bit, but not in the same way. And J.D. Davis's numbers are a little bit more impressive when you just glance at the hitting leaderboards, the pure hitting leaderboards, without taking all the other stuff into account. Tyra Estrada deserves it, but I would doubt that he'll get there. I also just want to kind of give a shout out to Tyler Rogers, who's been absolutely phenomenal this year. And he's basically never going to be an all-star unless he somehow becomes a closer. You know, he has a 1.74 ERA in 41 and a third innings as of this recording. Camilo Duvall has a 1.89 ERA in 38 innings. So, I mean, Tyler Rogers deserves it basically just as much as Duvall. He just, again, he doesn't have the eye-popping stuff. And you basically have to be Dan Quisenberry to make the All-Star team as a submariner. Like, literally Dan Quisenberry, not Dan Quisenberry-level talent. Yes. Like, your name has to be Dan Quisenberry.
You're totally right. You write about Camilo Duvall, and Tyler Rogers is right there. I was trying to be like, well, what's Camilo Duvall's ranks in terms of the rest of the National League? Because when I was writing about him being named, I was like, well, he leads NL in saves, and his strikeout to walk, his ERA, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait, Tyler Rogers is right there. Wait, Tyler Rogers is right there. Tyler Rogers has a better this. He has a better that. So it's kind of it's weird how they're intertwined, but that just shows how effective they are back to back, especially with the different styles. And one more thing. Here's why I keep harping on Tyro Estrada. Because how often in our lives do the Giants have a top 10 position player? So that's it. That's the main reason. I'm like, wow. And he's an up the middle guy on top of it. And like, legitimately, it's not like you're squinting and guessing. I still remember when people lost their mind when Brandon Crawford was getting named All-Star teams. It's just like, it's just the case that the people, the loudest voices who have control of the media, Doug, starts at the top. They're all on the East Coast. And so like literally anyone that's like literally west of Missouri, west of St. Louis, they're like, who is this joker? He's no better than IKF. What's that guy's name? Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Yes. It's like, it's like that. That's the floor for a lot of these guys. And it's like, well, there are so many other better players. You mentioned J.D. Davis. I mean, it'd be funny if he got named because the Nationals fans would have a legit argument. Jaime Candelario, he's got the better war. But okay, time for the Bullpen Trust Power Rankings for June. I know this is why everyone has signed up for the Croncast, Doug. This is the value proposition we provide.
Yeah, we're giving the people what they want here. We've got so many fan letters about this bit. When is it coming back? We're like, well, we do it once in a month. But I want it now. Well, guys, if we give it to you every time, I mean, you're going to get tired of it. So
yeah,
got to keep stringing you along.
Also, it just is the case that how many times and then how many different ways can we say that the Giants have a great bullpen? It has been dominant. It has been fantastic. It is the best bullpen in the National League through June, with 3.3 wins above replacement, if that's how you just want to look at it. They've also pitched 350 innings as a bullpen, which is the most in the National League after the A's and the Rays. How do you want to define that? Because this is what Doug and I ran into. Who the fuck is a starter and who's a reliever on this staff at this point? Nobody knows. Nobody knows at all. So
no.
It's very confusing. I think the Giants enjoy that. I think they like confounding people and changing up the definition of what a bullpen is or can be, because that's where they derive value, is their originality. But I would say that this list was as difficult as last month, I would say, because they're all pitching very well, but we're going to give it a shot. And we didn't enter this with any criteria. So I don't know who Doug's going to select or determine as a reliever versus a starter. And we're just going to go from there. So why don't you kick it off, Doug?
All right. So in last place, I was kind of going back and forth here because, you know, not everyone is necessarily a reliever. Not everyone's a starter. Right? These definitions get all hazy, like Brian just said. But then Alex Wood really pitched like shit in New York. And so I wasn't even going to put him on the list. But now he's in last place because he pitched like shit in New York. So Alex Wood in last place for me.
I don't have Alex Wood on my list, but you just made a really strong case for why he should be. He came in and he had five innings and no runs and seven strikeouts when the Giants had their historic game in Toronto for their lone win there. And so he's basically exchanging good appearance, bad appearance. His first appearance coming off the IL, I think that was also five scoreless innings. And then he got blown up against the Padres. Then he came back and he pitched well against the Blue Jays. And then it was a walk-a-thon against the Mets. He's all over the place. Is he a starter? Is a reliever? He doesn't want to be a reliever. He's being treated like a reliever. I'm with you. He wasn't on my list, so it cost me nothing to put him at the bottom of mine. So.
Yeah, it's where he belongs.
Yes. All right. So who's your next one?
So next I have Jacob Junis. So Junis had a pretty bad month, as it turns out. He pitched 15 innings, had an ERA of 660. Now, there are a lot of things that he actually did right. He had a good strikeout rate. He was 10.2 strikeouts per nine. So he had a really good strikeout rate. He didn't walk anybody, but he gave up some homers and he gave up some runs. And, in a strong bullpen, that's going to kind of put you closer to the bottom of the rankings than anyone except for Alex Wood, who, again, totally pitched like shit in New York.
Okay, so what you just wrote, because Junis is on my list, but he is on the list above these guys. I think I'm going to combine them all into one because I don't trust them based on their health. Scott Alexander, John Brebbia, and Luke Jackson, they all were great when they pitched. They combined for 13, 15, 16 innings pitched in June. And only Luke Jackson gave up a run out of the three of them. He gave up a run or two. They all had positive win probability added. But I don't know when Scott Alexander's coming back. I'm unclear when John Brebbia is coming back. And I'm unclear when Luke Jackson's coming back. And so I can't trust. These are all three guys who do have iffy health histories too. So for me, I rated them as the lowest. I don't know. I just totally blew it all up for myself, but that's how I see it. So you have Wood, then Junis. Who's next for you?
I mean, that is an interesting point about the kind of the injured guys. I just kind of slotted them in, assuming they're healthy. Mm-hmm. So you'll see them later on my list. So next,
Jackson was really good. I mean, just to be clear, yeah. Luke Jackson, when he pitched, was fantastic. But I'm also like, wow, he came back from Tommy John. He rehabbed and now he's back on the IL and who knows? So anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Who's next?
So next I had actually Ryan Walker. Hmm. That, his troubles when he opens a game have just been kind of rough to see, and he can get through it. Like, he has the talent and sort of funkiness to get through it. But I'm watching him just walk some guys, go to 3-1 with like the bases loaded. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel good about this. He gets out of it, but you don't get out of that every time. Like, you get out of that three times in a row. You've been playing with fire an awful lot. And it feels like Walker has been really playing with fire.
So I had him a little bit higher because overall, he had the four open air appearances, and he was not good in all but one of them, the Toronto one. And like you said, it was by the skin of his teeth there. That actually wound up making the four openings have a positive win probability added by virtue of him escaping that first inning jam. But I had him a little bit higher. He was my number six. Next on my list would have been Sean Manaea. So I would have him, second, third from the bottom. So you have Wood, Junis, Walker, and I have Wood, those guys, and Manaea. And because Sean Manaea is effectively a reliever at this point, looking at him, he actually pitched pretty well, the 169 FIP. And even in his appearance against the Mets, maybe not all that hot. Or he looked okay. And so my trust for him is more like, he's fine. I don't think that there's like a lot of separation for a lot of these guys, maybe at this lower end. But I do trust Manaea more than Junis. And I trust Manaea less than Ryan Walker, who you trust more than. So who would be your next spot?
So my next spot was Manaea.
Okay. So we just flipped them. All right.
Yeah, we just flipped. Pretty easy. yeah, I mean, Manaea, 11.5 strikeouts per nine in June, 1.7 walks per nine. I mean, those are really strong numbers. Didn't give up a home run. And he sort of had a little bit of bad luck with the number of runners he allowed scoring. His left on base percentage was bizarrely low. It was 44%. It usually is about 75%, and there's not a whole lot that a pitcher can do about that. So basically what that means, instead of one out of every four base runners he allowed scoring, it was more than half of them scoring, which won't be likely to continue. On the other hand, that did happen. You know, you see him give up runs and you trust him less. And of course, we still have those scars from the beginning of the season. As much as he's looked much better as a reliever, you remember how he looked as a starter. So that's why I have him pretty low, you know, the high ERA and the even with the low FIP.
Yeah. Another reason why I have Walker ahead of him, just to throw this out there since we're kind of tying them, was in his non-opener appearances. He was overall very sharp. He allowed one run in his non-opener appearances in June. And so I just kind of say, like, man, it's, you can't trust him in the role that the Giants have been using him in, which I guess is how you would say, well, that's kind of what the ranking should weight towards that. But at the same time, we know why they're using him in that role, because they don't have John Brebbia to do that right now. And we see that they've got Ross Stripling back now. So maybe that will change the dynamic some more. I don't know. I think Manaea being where he is not a punishment, but an adjustment that they had to make because he was so bad as a starter. Whereas Walker suffering as an opener, I don't want to hold against him too much because he really is more supposed to be pitching later in the game. So it's like one switch is helping one guy and the other switch isn't helping another guy. That's where it's like, well, I trust the player to be, if he's using the right spots, but maybe I'm not, maybe the team's not going to give me that opportunity. So if that sounds convoluted, I apologize. But all right, so who's after Manaea for you? And then we'll do a quick reset.
So after Manaea, I have Tristan Beck.
Oh, cool. That's who I have too. Yeah, tell me more.
So we're getting into sort of the good pitchers, like the ones who have actually been pitching pretty well. And of those guys, I think Tristan Beck is still the one who is rightfully being used in the lowest leverage situations. You know, he pitched 16 and a third in June. Strikeout rate wasn't great. Walk rate wasn't great. He didn't allow a lot of runs. And we could all see the stuff was there. But he did kind of slip a little bit. So, you know, he's certainly better than Manaea, I think. I trust him more than Walker just because of what we've talked about already, but he's a step behind the rest of the staff.
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, the 414 FIP versus the 220 ERA and the 16.1 innings pitched. That's not terrible, especially for a reliever, but it's also like just watching him eye test wise, I'm like, he's a 1.5 pitch pitcher a lot of the time. When he can get the slider really working, he's really great. But yeah, I trust him a little bit more than, I mean, even Ryan Walker, a guy I like, but he's definitely, I think they're using him also in sort of the right roles. Like you said, the low leverage. So I think that's a good spot for him. All right, let's do a reset then. Counting from the bottom up.
From the bottom up, I have Alex Wood, Jacob Junis, Ryan Walker, Sean Manaea, and Tristan Beck.
And then I have created a big problem. I have Alex Wood, and then I have a three-way tie for Scott Alexander, John Brebbia, Luke Jackson, Jacob Junis, Sean Manaea, Ryan Walker, Tristan Beck. So that's my list. So I have just four left on my list, and I suspect you have more than that.
Technically, I have six. Two of them I'm going to basically combine into one. I did not rank Scott Alexander, but I'll talk about that. Not on this one, but the next one.
You know who I blame for this? The Giants.
Yeah, 100%. They're just like galaxy braining their way.
That's right.
Giving us a hard time. Thanks.
I mean, Ross Stripling should be on this list, but he didn't pitch much in June, so I'm sure he'll pop up back here, and it's a mess. All right, so top four. I'm going to name – no, you have more than me, so you should go next. So who would be your next player? Because this will be your sixth – number six?
Yeah, number okay. six. Okay. So number six for me is Keaton Wynn. Mm-hmm. With the caveat being, I don't know how much longer he's going to be a reliever. Yeah. I know they have five starters right now, technically, but he's pretty clearly much better in a starting role than Anthony Sclafani is at the moment. Anthony Sclafani is running on fumes. Just watching Alex Wood come in and shit the bed half the time, I would trust Keaton Wynn over him in the rotation. So for now, he might technically be a reliever. I don't know if that's going to last. He's been excellent ever since getting called up. Zero complaints. His start against the Blue Jays was great, but he's been doing those 4 and 5 inning relief appearances where he just shuts it down. You feel good when he's on the mound. You're in good hands. So, I have him next because he has been just a really solid player, but who knows how much longer he's going to be a reliever.
Yeah. That was my thinking for where I rated him, which we haven't reached that spot yet. So who's your next one?
So next I have the other two injured guys. I have Luke Jackson and John Brevia. Okay. I can just kind of say them together. They're hurt right now. When they're in the game, I trust them. They're just not going to be in the game anytime soon. And the reason I excluded Scott Alexander from the list was basically that he's been hurt. He was hurt for most of June. They didn't pitch him for, I think, 10 days when he was on the active roster. And then he came in, pitched very briefly, and went on the IL. So mm-hmm. I was like, does that really count? I don't think so. He was basically not available for most of June. I think Brevia and Jackson got a few more appearances in. Enough that whatever my criteria is to go on the list, they satisfied it. Please don't ask me what that was, but it was arbitrary, but they both did a really good job when they were in. They deserve to be ranked highly because whenever John Brevia comes back this year, I'm going to be happy to see him on the mound. Whenever, if and when, Luke Jackson comes back this year, I have confidence in him doing a good job on the mound. So they're number 5 and 4, even if they're not going to be coming to the game soon.
All right. Who's your next one then? Cause I feel like maybe now we're going to run into my controversy.
Now we're good. So next is, cause this was really tough actually, but next I have Taylor Rogers.
Great. So now we can have this conversation. I have Keaton Wynn ahead of Taylor Rogers, which seems absurd. But you said the thing that made me the key thing. Keaton Wynn pitched so well, the Giants now trust him to be in the rotation, possibly. So doesn't that rationally move him beyond Taylor Rogers? That said, Taylor Rogers, 9.2 innings pitched, a 0.93 ERA with a 2.25 FIP. He added 0.557 win probability added, pitching in the 2nd, 3rd, 6th, 7th, 8th and 10th innings throughout the month. So the Giants trust him quite a bit, Doug. They trust him very much. And you ranking him as high as you have, which is what, third, is completely third, yeah. rational. But I put Wynn because he pitched so well. Like Wynn's first appearance was that 4-inning save. And then his most recent appearance was 6 dominant innings that made you go, oh, he should be in the rotation. So I'm like, just by performance in the month alone, whereas Taylor Rogers effectively after April turned his season around and he's been reliable. So I'm being irrational, but you're being rational. I'm just pointing that out. Any other things you want to spotlight about Taylor Rogers' great month?
Before we do that, so the reason the response to they trust Keaton Wynn to be in the rotation is, yes, they do. They don't trust him to be a late inning reliever. So, if we're just ranking bullpen trust, then I think that's the argument. He's been excellent. And Taylor Rogers was just a lockdown reliever the entire month. He was a lockdown reliever in all of May too. if in probably in most bullpens in the league, Taylor Rogers would be the clear number one. But because there are just two guys who we've already mentioned on this podcast as being excellent this year, he's kind of losing out. But he's been so good.
He really has.
You know, just in the month of June, 14.9 strikeouts per nine, 2.8 walks per nine. What more could you ask for? He's been just absurd.
He's pitching to his $11 million a year deal for sure.
Yeah.
I'm being silly. Absolutely. So I just had to do it because I was like, oh, well, the guy that they're moving out of the bullpen because he pitched so well seems like he should be ahead of the guy. But you're also right. So then that leaves what? Two guys, right?
That's right. Two guys.
I think we know who they are. I put Tyler Rogers I mean, it was close, but I mean, if you want to look at a tiebreaker between he and Camilo Duvall, I mean, let's look at this first part start, unless I read it wrong, which I don't think I did. Both of them pitched 13.1 innings in June. Both of them had a 1.35 ERA in June. That's weird. But then we start to diverge. Tyler Rogers, a 1.93 FIP, Camilo Duvall, 3.28. And then you get into this weird thing, well, it's because he's closing, but win probability added, which is maybe for reliever, it's a good measure, but 1.282 win probability added for Rogers, and then 1.400 for Duvall. Tyler Rogers is like one of the hardest pitchers in baseball to square up. His hard hit rate's ridiculously low. He had, like I was saying earlier, every time I'm looking up a Camilo Duvall stat, there's Tyler Rogers just chugging along. But I couldn't put the all-star number two.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a lot simpler that Tyler Rogers does have to rely on his defense a little bit. And Camilo Duvall doesn't. Yeah. And just as much as Tyler Rogers could be objectively a little bit better, and statistically he has been, I think, just the mere fact that Camilo Duvall would have a much easier time striking out the side with the bases loaded than Rogers would. You know, Rogers, you'd hope for one strikeout and then maybe he gets a double play.
Yeah.
Duvall, you know, yeah, he'll strike out the side. Sure. Why not? He could do it. And I think that's the tiebreaker. It's not super fair. I think Rogers is still an immensely valuable kind of pitcher. He's a great pitcher, but just look at trust. And I just want to be able to see a guy who will blow 101 past you.
Also, though, I mean, a credit to Tyler Rogers for the exact scenario you laid out. He has a pretty good chance of getting that. The one strikeout and the double play. I think that's been why he's been so successful is he's been able to get, for the most part, the type of ball and play that he needs to get out of the situation. But Duvall,
or a pop-up.
More pop-up, yep. All right, so let's do our convoluted list that will help everyone at their 4th of July barbecue, I think. This is definitive. If you want to walk into that barbecue and people start arguing with you about the Giants and this guy's trash or this guy's sneaky good, no, this is the list. This is all you need to know. You pick between Doug and I since we have different people, and that determines what kind of person you are. Sorry, Doug.
Okay, so my list is Alex Wood, then Jacob Junis, then Ryan Walker, Sean Manaea, Tristan Beck, Keaton Wynn, Luke Jackson and John Brebbia, Taylor Rogers, Tyler Rogers, and Camilo Duvall.
All right, and then I have Alex Wood, and then a three-way tie between Scott Alexander, John Brebbia, Luke Jackson, based strictly on their health availability, then Jacob Junis, Sean Manaea, Ryan Walker, Tristan Beck, Taylor Rogers, Keaton Wynn, Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall. That's definitive. And if you are, and how American you are determines on which list you side with. So
that's right. One of us is a communist, but we won't tell you which one.
That's right. I had no plans of revealing. Just go with your gut. All right. So the Giants are going to play the Mariners. We'll be talking about that later in the week, and then we'll preview the next series. But the Mariners, Doug, I didn't ask you to write anything up or look into them for a second. Just wanted to let everyone know that's what's happening starting today. The Mariners are 40-42, 9 games back in the AL West. They're 3 games back of the Angels somehow. 5-5 in their last 10 games, 2-game winning streak. a plus 17 run differential, something to keep in mind. And they're 16-22 on the road. A fun little note here. They're going to have, well, they have like all young starting pitchers. We're going to see Logan Gilbert, who was their top prospect at one point and is pitching okay this year. But on tonight's game is this guy, Brian Wu, and he's a Cal Poly alum. So expect Mike
Part Kruko. Of the West, baby. Yeah.
He's also from Wait, Oakland.
Expect it from me too, because I also went to Cal Poly.
Brian Wu went to Cal Poly.
That's so, there it is.
He was born in the year 2000, Doug.
Oh, God, why did you say that? That was cruelty.
It was right there.
Oh, man.
So that'll be an interesting series, I think. The two teams are modeled so similarly that it will be I think it's always fun when they match up. I kind of feel like the Giants will have the edge, but I thought they had the edge going into the Mets series, and boy, did they prove that wrong. So that's the last time I back the Giants. So.
Let that be a lesson to you. I would say the most interesting thing about the Mariners is that Trevor Gott is currently in their bullpen. If you didn't pay attention, you would think that he was out of baseball by now, but he is not. He has an ERA plus of exactly 100. So he has been exactly league average. Way to go, Trevor Gott.
I'm excited to see Julio Rodriguez hit a dinger or two. I think that's going to happen. I think there's a good chance of that. He's a fun player.
Yeah, and Jared Kelenic's had a nice year. They have Teoscar Hernandez. They have a nice, like a fun outfield.
Yeah.
The big star is Trevor Gott.
Let it be said. Doug, will you be writing about Trevor Gott this week, and where will that be?
I haven't decided yet. But whatever I write about this week, you can find me at giantsdoug.substack.com, where I write twice a week, though I don't know if I'm going to give a huge effort on for the 4th of July this week about the Giants. Brian, where can people find your writing?
It's going to be McCoveyChronicles.com. In terms of the Giants Croncast, I think Twitter is actually dead now, so I don't know where you're going to get updates on the Croncast. But go ahead while you're at the family barbecue. Tell your friends and family to give us 5 stars right there on the Spotify app. Giants Croncast, a podcast for San Francisco Giants fans. We're part of Fans First Sports Network, which was on Twitter at Fans First SN. Again, I don't know what's going to happen in where we're going to wind up social media wise afterward, but stay subscribed and you'll get the new episodes. We're going to do twice a week still. And we're either Monday, Thursday or Monday, Friday, depending on when a series happens. So that's when you can expect us, definitely every Monday. But and so until Thursday, when we'll be back with an all new episode,
go Giants!